Well, we're glad to be with you again in Victoria Drive tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we consider some passages from the Word of God. We're reading this evening to commence in Romans chapter 3, the book of the Romans and chapter 3. Some well-known verses commencing to read at verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice particularly, if you will, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now turn back to the Old Testament, please, and the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. The book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And we're reading verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now notice verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Now that's all we're going to read, and we know it is with the Lord's blessing. What I have to say this evening mainly concerns these two short texts that we've read together in your hearing. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we read words like these. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second one that we're referring to in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 goes like this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. In the first verse in Romans chapter 3, we are presented with man as a sinner. And in the second, we have God as the Savior. In the first, we have the plight of man brought before us. And in the second, we have the might of God emphasized for us. In the first, again, we can see that men have departed from God. But in the second, we find that God is drawing near to men in grace, in salvation, to meet man's need. In the first, we get the measure of man. And in the second, we get the measure of God moving in grace towards man. So that's briefly the main thoughts and the main issues that are at stake before us in our consideration this evening. When we come to Romans chapter 3 and 23, I think that there is brought before us the most concise and the clearest of statements regarding the need of man before God. You see, as the apostle considers the various aspects of humanity and the various categories in humanity, he takes a look at the religious man, and he takes a look at the morally upright man, and he even takes a look at the basest and the vilest of men, and he comes to this conclusion, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, as he looks at humanity, and the various distinctions that may be drawn between men. He brings them all to the common platform, and he reaches this conclusion, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I want you to understand, friend, that Paul, as he writes this, is not bringing before us something that he has conjured up in his own imagination. Nor is he bringing before us some theory or some doctrine that he has learned from men. For the gospel that Paul preached was given to him neither from men nor from the apostles at Jerusalem, but it was given to him directly from the risen head by revelation of Jesus Christ. And as he takes up his pen of inspiration to write the Roman epistle that we've read from tonight, he's doing so, my friend, infallibly. What we have before us is indeed
the Word of God.
Well, that's important. For we're not here tonight to browbeat anyone. And we're not here to set ourselves, as it were, on a level above anybody. For the gospel does the exact opposite, friend. It brings men to this common platform. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now the apostle does a bit of measuring in this verse. He brings before us the measure of man. You'll notice how he does it. He takes out a yardstick. I guess in Canada it is the meter rule. He brings out the meter rule of the glory of God. And he sets men against it. See how they measure up. Now in the next few moments, we would like to do just that in your hearing. You see, my friend, it's no use you or I comparing ourselves with our fellow men. For likely we could always find someone that is much worse than ourselves and point to them and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I haven't stooped to the depths of depravity that so-and-so has stooped to. You see, we're just measuring ourselves by ourselves. Men measuring themselves by men. And says the apostle in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, he says men that do that, they're not wise. They're not wise. And so the apostle, as he takes the measure to man, and gives us the measure of man, he does so by bringing before us the glory of God. Now, first of all, you know, without me having to tell you, that we are just creatures of time. Creatures of time. But God is eternal. From everlasting, the psalmist declares, to everlasting, thou art God, the one who had no beginning and the one who has no end. Before Mount Baker was ever built, or before the mighty Fraser flowed, I want to tell you, friend, from everlasting to everlasting, there is God. You and I are just creatures of a day. The measure of man against the glory of the eternal God. Then again, we are but frail and weak creatures. But we only need a bit of a sore head until we're running to the medicine cabinet to take a tablet then. And you'd think the world was falling around us. We're frail and we're weak. But the God of eternity, my friend, we want to tell you, is the God who is described as being almighty. He is the one that was revealed to Abraham of old. God Almighty. Before me, and he said to Abraham, walk before me, and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. The Almighty God expects his creatures to be perfect. man measured against the glory of God. Again, we are creatures that are subject to circumstances. Is that right? Circumstances change. And we're all put out. But God is not subject to circumstances. Indeed, God is sovereign. God is behind all circumstances. And God has seen to it, incidentally, that you're found in the meeting tonight. God is behind all circumstances. And there's nothing behind God. Nothing. Man measured against the glory of the sovereign God. There are many truths from the Bible that we could bring to bear upon this. There's the truth that we are darkness. But God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's the truth that's found in this verse, that we are sinful for all of sin, but God is holy. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and a holy place. God is holy. And I think that that's the very crux of the matter. We're getting now to the very core, the very secret of this thing. For remember, friend, that the holiness of God means this. It means that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. If that was to grip our souls tonight in the meeting, just think of it. Every wrong thought, every wrong word, every hypocritical thought, every proud look, every foolish thought is sin against God. Sin against God. And God is angry with the wicked every day. When we come to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22, we read words like these. God speaks and He says, a fire is kindled in mine anger, and it shall burn unto the lowest hell. That's what the holiness of God means. Not only that God is angry with the wicked every day, but He kindles a fire in His anger, and it shall burn unto the lowest hell. And it is but the mercy of God that keeps poor sinners out of the flames of hell. It's only the mercy of God, my friend, that keeps the breath in your nostril. It's of His mercy that we are not consumed. For our God is a consuming fire. So the apostle brings before us this great truth as he measures man against the glory of God. He has to conclude, for all of sin, and come short of the glory of God. I wonder, have you discovered that really in your soul? For this is the first step on the royal road to blessing. It's the first step, my friend, on the road to heaven. To discover that what God says about me is absolutely true. I deserve nothing from Him. And if God preserves me from that judgment, it is of His mercy. That's what God says about you and me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, my friend, this is so important. For remember that heaven is but the sphere where the glory of God shines forth. There's nothing in heaven but the glory of God. the glory of God. And says the apostle, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what does that teach me? It teaches me this, that there can be no heaven for guilty sinners that have not got their sins forgiven. There can be no heaven, for it is the place where the glory of God is. For poor sinners that die without Christ, that die in their sin, for they come short of the glory of God. Revelation 21 confirms that to us. And there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's those that are saved. That's those that are converted. Those that are born again. Now we come in our thinking to our second verse in Isaiah chapter 59. We read there, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You see, if we learn from Romans chapter 3 that all fall short of the glory of God, we want to remind you from the passage now before us that the glory of God's grace in salvation can never fall short of meeting the believing sinner's need. You got that? I'll repeat it. If all men have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, when we come to Isaiah 59:1, we find that the glory of God, moving in grace and salvation, can never fall short of meeting the believing sinner's need. And so it is with joy that we bring this truth before you tonight. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I said, somebody, you know, I have discovered in my soul that I am a sinner before God. And if only you could see into my heart tonight, preacher, and get a look at the thoughts of my soul, you would discover that there is within me a longing to be right with God. And yes, I am conscious of my need. I'm conscious that I am only a sinner, bound for hell and bound for the judgment of God. And I'm also conscious that God is able to save sinners. And in this verse that we've read this evening, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I'm conscious that God is able to save sinners. He has saved others. You know, my difficulty is just this. I don't seem to be able to bring the two things together. You know, it's not real in my heart that he could see it me. Well, we want to help you tonight. We could have read in Romans again in chapter 10 and verse number 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now listen, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. Now listen, for whosoever shall call, that's simple to do, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Listen to the verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let me illustrate for you what we're getting at. When we come to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, we'll find that the disciples are out on the sea. It's in the middle of the night. It's the fourth watch of the night. Actually, it's towards the end of the night. And you remember the story how that the Lord Jesus came walking to them on the water. And when they saw him, they were afraid. And the Lord said, "It is I, be not afraid." And then Peter said, now listen, Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." You remember this story. Peter being Peter, you know, he climbed over the edge of the boat and off he went across the water towards the Lord. It seems that he had no sooner stepped out of the boat until he got his eye fixed upon the waves. And the wind was blowing, and the waves were coming over. And Peter had forgotten all about the Lord, and in no time at all, he's going down. And what does he do? Listen to him. "Lord, save me!" Tell your friend, that wasn't from the teeth out. That was wrenched from the very core of his being. Slipping underneath the waves and the billows that were all around him. And the Lord is there. And he cries, "Lord, save me! Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. If there's a soul in this meeting tonight and you realize your need of Christ, and you cry from the depths of your being, "Lord, save me," his ear is open and his arm is extended. And behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And the Lord Jesus tonight is able to save poor sinners that are in danger of slipping underneath the waves and the billows of the wrath of God. You know why? Because those same waves and billows of divine wrath have broke upon the sinless soul of Christ. They have expended their force upon the mighty rock of the Lord Jesus. The wrath of God has exhausted itself against him. And now he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh friend, tonight in simplicity, would you not turn to the Savior? He's your only hope for eternity. He's your only hope for heaven. You fall short of the glory of God. But Christ in grace has provided that basis whereby God can come out in justice and save guilty sinners and impute to them God's righteousness. And bring them home safe to heaven, cleared from every charge of guilt. Deliver them from the wrath which is to come. And land them safe on heaven's shore. Would you not trust the Savior tonight? Would you not cast your all upon him? For remember, my friend, you haven't long to get the matter settled. As I look down on the company this evening, I see heads with grey hairs. And I'm reminded again of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 89. "Remember how short my time is." Remember, friend, it's only this side of eternity where you'll get this matter settled for eternity. It's only the space that God has given you in this lifetime that you can have the world to come settled and heaven and home assured by getting to Christ and getting to the Savior. Calling upon the name of the Lord from the depths of your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to it tonight. There is no difference For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen, look to Christ. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We trust that you will cry out to him tonight and trust the Savior for salvation.